should always be a thanksgiving in your heart. Each and every day. A thanksgiving that God has given you a promise that will endure forever. Something that is eternal. Everlasting. Something that will never grow old. Something that will never tarnish. And this morning, I hope and I pray that as God's people, that's always on our heart. Oftentimes we set aside a time that we might give thanks for the things that God has given us in our life, because yet we are just borrowing them. Our families, our children, the material things that God has given us, they're all His and they all belong to Him. For we know that the Scripture teaches us that He owns 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills. It's all His. But yet He has allowed us to partake in those things. This week, as I began to think and to meditate on what God might have us to bring, I began to really think a lot about death. And I suppose you might say, preacher, that's pretty morbid. But I want you to understand something this week. I seen three different aspects of death. A young lady that me and Jessica are familiar with had recently married, and she become pregnant, and the Lord, she was really excited about all of those things. And the baby was born, and the baby passed away. And this little baby, no doubt, is a gift from God. And those things, I can't imagine this morning what those families are going through. But I take in thought of that, as David said about his little baby. He said, I can't bring him back, but he said, I'll go to him one day after a while. And this young lady and her husband are saved, and they've got an eternal hope that they're going to see this little child again someday after a while. And then on the other aspect of that, I seen a young man that I wasn't very acquainted with, but he was in his just graduated high school. And he had a vehicle accident and he died. And we become so, I guess, numb to these things, that we see death all around us. But death is a part of living. And each and every one of us are going to have to experience it at some point. It's all coming for each and every one of us. And I know this week we was able to go over there to, we know that Sister LaVon, that she had passed, and I'm so thankful that she was prepared and ready to go. But really, I began to think about death this week. And I want you to know first and foremost that if you've been saved by the grace of God and you have an eternal hope within your heart, my friend, be thankful in that. First and foremost, knowing that there is a promise that endures, that when you die, my friend, that hope that is within you is eternal. It's forever. I had a conversation with a young man this week, and he began to talk to me, and he's in a different denomination, and I'm not going to run him down. But he said, I don't understand how that you can believe once saved, always saved. And I looked at him and I said, I don't know how you can't. I don't know how that you can't look at Jesus' words. And he said over there, referring in John 10, he said, I give him eternal life. And he said, no man can pluck them from the Father's hand. He said, no man can do that. My friend, I rest assured in that promise today that it is eternal. That it is fixed. I'm thankful to know that. A lot of people, I guess, might say that they, in today's time, they might give us a hard way of going. They say, well, y'all just believe you can go about living any way you want to. That's not what the Bible says. When He saves you, He sanctifies you. And He calls you unto a life of holiness. He doesn't give you the liberty to go out and live any way you want to. My friend, when God seals you, it ought to give you a desire to want to live for Jesus. It's changed you. You've become a new creature. The old man is dead, and yet there's a new man that lives. There's something eternal in here that's been saved, not by what I've been able to do, but what God has done for you and for me. I looked at him and I said, I don't understand, nor do I know how that you cannot see it that way. There are so many places throughout the Bible that refers to eternal security. And I'm thankful today that God holds that. If I was to hold it myself, Paul said over there in the Roman letter, and I'll get to my subject just here in a minute, Paul said over there in the Roman letter in the 8th chapter, he says, for what shall separate them from the love of God? And he goes on through the list. He says, nay, and none of these things. He says, for you're more than conquerors through him that loved you. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Nothing. So I want us to think about the victory over death. Many of you know where I'm going with this in the 1 Corinthians letter in the 15th chapter. I suppose as I begin to read over this week, Paul called it a mystery. But I suppose in all of Paul's writings, this is some of the most beautiful things that he has recorded. Because of the sin of Adam, the first man that was created, that as he was placed there in the garden and God had commanded him, he had given him dominion over everything in the garden. And he told him there, he said, of every tree you may eat of the fruit, but he said of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he said, you shall not eat of it, or at least you shall surely die. And because of Adam and because of his transgression and because that we are from his seed, death has surpassed and come upon all of mankind. But I want you to know this morning, and if you take anything away from this, and I know that I'm not preaching anything new to you this morning, but rest assured there's hope in Jesus. And my friend, that is the only hope that we'll have. The Apostle Paul, over here in 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter, I want to read starting here in the 50th verse. He says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us this victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain of the Lord. and with the mistakes that we've made reading. I began to think about here what the Apostle Paul was addressing here to the Corinthian church, and previously in the chapter he begins to explain to them that there were some that did not believe in the resurrection and was having a hard time understanding the concept of it. And my friend Paul begins to very delicately explain what it is to be an incorruption. He said there previously, it is sown in corruption, but it is raised in incorruption. He said it is sown in dishonor, but it is raised in glory. He said it is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, and it is raised in power. And this morning, I know as we began to think about Thanksgiving, I began to think about what the Apostle Paul here said in the 57th verse. He said, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "Thanks be to God." The victory is not within ourselves, but the victory is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is where our victory as the saints of God lies. That is our victory this morning, where our hope lies, is within the name of Jesus. And as Paul began to explain these things, he began to describe unto them, he said, "Behold," he said, "I show you a mystery." And my friend, certainly it's a mystery. I don't understand all the details and the inner workings of the resurrection. But my friend, I believe because of what Jesus said. He said, "I am the resurrection." He said, "I am the life." And my friend, this morning I'm thankful to know because He lives. My friend, one day after a while, we too shall live. Paul said, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump." There is a day that is surely approaching. I don't know when that time will come. We may go over there shortly here and read in 1 Thessalonians, but as Paul was addressing the church there in Thessalonians, he told them, he says, basically, to paraphrase it, he was explaining to them about the returning of the Lord. And my friend, I want you to understand this morning that there is a day that is approaching. Now, I don't know when that time will come. He begins to go on over in the 5th chapter, and he said, "Pay no evidence to the time of the seasons." He said, "For you know that the Lord will return as a thief in the night." Now, I don't know when those things will come to pass. But what I do know is this, that the reason that we continue on is because of God's mercies and because of His faithfulness, because His mercy, my friend, endureth forever. But there will come a time, there will come a day that He will say, "It is done," that it is finished. And I realize this morning that there are even some that may believe that that Jesus may come and that He may set up a kingdom here on this earth. And listen to you say, "Well, preacher, you're getting into rocky ground here." I'm telling you this morning, I believe when Jesus was on the cross and He said, "It's finished," I believe that's what He meant. That's what I believe. There's going to come a day that eastern sky will roll back as a scroll. Now, I don't know when that time will come. But I believe, as the Scripture says, that we'll be caught up together to meet Him in the air, and with Him we'll be forevermore. I look forward to a time when I can be with Him in His likeness and never more to have to worry and walk through this world of sin. Never more to fail Him anymore. Never more to let Him down. To be in His likeness. To be clothed in a crown of righteousness. In a robe of white. I feel weak this morning. Help me. Pray for me. I begin to think about all those that have died and that have went on before us. The massed amount of cemeteries. The dead. I give thanks to God to know this morning that that is not the end. That through death it's only the beginning. To live down here in this walk of life, in this world of sin, it gets wearisome and it gets troublesome, and there's things in life that we go through. But my friend, to know that one day after a while, when we lay this walk of life down, to be with Him forevermore. In a world, my friend, in heaven with God, where He reigns, where there's never more any sin. Where He says that He'll wipe away our tears. Where there's no more pain. There's no more wars. There's no more of any of that ungodly things that goes on. He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, undecaying. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death has swallowed up in victory." The last monster, if you will. He said the sting of death is sin. The sting. I'm sure that each and every one of us this morning know that that one day after a while we're going to have to face death. Because of the sin of Adam, because that we come from the seed of Adam. But I want you to know and understand something this morning, that though the sting of death may come, my friend, I want you to know that it's swallowed up in the victory of Jesus Christ. As I begin to listen to Brother Mike the other day, he said it was such a sweet and peaceful feeling as they gathered in there in the room. And I'm not trying to lift her up, bless her heart, but she's done went on home to her reward. But he said it was such a sweet and peaceful feeling as they gathered in their room around her. And he began to talk to her. My friend, when God and His Spirit dwells within your heart, there's a peace about it. I've seen those that are, grandmamas and granddaddies that went on to be home with the Lord, and they're laying in their hospital beds or wherever it is they're laying. And there's a peace. There's a peace on their face. There's a warmth that, even though death has surrounded you, there's a warmth there because of the presence of God. That though they're drawing their eyes in death, and though they're drawing their last breath, you know that they're going home to their reward. You say, "Preacher, you're talking about something you've never experienced." No, I've never experienced death. But I look back at the saints of God that have come before me, and I know that God has saved them, that He's given them that eternal promise. And with a peace in their heart, they drawed their last breath. He says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The Apostle Paul speaks here in almost a bold sense. Not in a sense that he's overcome it within himself, but through and by Jesus Christ. He said, the sting of death is sin, and the strength or the power of sin is the law. Romans in the 6th chapter says this in the 14th verse. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Sin shall not have dominion over you, because you are no longer under the law, but you are under grace. For His grace is sufficient. Yes, the Apostle Paul goes forth and says, God forbid that we sin no more. That's not what he says. But he said, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. So this morning, you ask me, am I thankful for the things that God has given me in my life? He has given me a home. That song we sing. He's putting shoes on my feet. He's putting a roof over my head. He's given me food on my table. He's provided for me in every aspect of every walk of my life. But the far greatest thing that He has given me, and the thing that I am most thankful for this morning, is the eternal promise that He has given me. That when it comes my time to draw my last breath, that is not the end. And that one day after a while, that this body, no matter how far the bones may be scattered, no matter how much that it may dilute and turn to dust, my friend, this body will rise one day. That should stir up our hearts. Baylor, this week, made a comment, and it stuck with me all week. Oftentimes throughout the night, after we lay Baylor to bed, he comes downstairs. And he says, Mama, Daddy, there's a monster in my room. And I know that that's innocent. But he thinks that there's a monster in his room. He's got a little nightlight over there by the wall. Last night he come downstairs again. He said, Mama, Daddy, there's a monster in my room. Will you come up there and look? I always tell him, son, there's no monster. No such thing. To us, death seems as the monster. It has taken our loved ones. But there's a light that shines out in the darkness. And it's Jesus. The Apostle Paul goes on to say, he said, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no victory in me or you. There's no victory in anything that we can do on our own. But there is victory in the name of Jesus. I'll finish here just in a moment. In the 58th verse, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren," he said, "furthermore, be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So that if we know as God's people that the grave is not the end, and maybe you see it differently than me, but it is the beginning for me. Because I look forward to a time that I can be with God. So he said, furthermore, he said, stand steadfast. He said, in the truths and the doctrines that God has lined out, he said, stand fast in those things. Continue in the work of God. Continue telling people about Jesus. Continue worshiping and praising my name. Continue to stand fast. And he said, unmovable. Take your stand and be unmovable in it. Don't weary and wave with every form of doctrine that comes your way, but examine the Word of God and stand in it unmovable, unshakable. Then if somebody comes to you and says, "Explain to me what you mean about eternal security," tell them that I know what God has planted in here is eternal and that no man can pluck thee out of the Father's hand. Steadfast and unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. When I think of the saints of God, and I think of those that have went on and trodden before us, and the things that they have done, I don't mean to puff Brother Moran up. He knows that. I love you, brother. But if there ever was an encouragement to me, Brother Moran, in his late 80s, I believe, he's still out and about going to revival, going and doing. Still preaching. There's going to come a day that I'm going to lay this work down. Brother Moran, I know he knows there's going to come a day that he's going to lay this work down. There's going to come a day Brother Don's going to lay his work down. Brother Chuck's going to lay his work down. There's going to come a day that each and every one of us are going to lay our work down. But until that time comes, labor as long as you can. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Where I'm going one day after a while, I won't need this book no longer. I won't need it. The gospel won't have to be preached up there. We'll have him there with us, won't we? Stand steadfast. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. There's a time coming. And I don't know when it is. But there's coming a time that the Bible says that the Lord will return as the voice of the archangel and the trumpet shall sound, and he shall have a shout about him. I'm going to mess that up. First Thessalonians, 4th chapter, 13th verse. He said, but I would have you not to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend with heaven, from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I know I've been scattered this morning, but there's peace in my heart. And there's a joy and there's a thanksgiving in here for me. But death, the last milestone, the last thing to conquer, that I won't face it alone. And when the time comes and Jesus comes to return, in that cloud of great glory, he'll have a shout about him, I believe, that'll be heard throughout all the world. It'll be a shout like none other. My friend, this morning, let us stand steadfast and unmoved. Always abounding to the work of the Lord, knowing that you not labor in vain. We come to church on Sunday morning time and time and time again because I believe that's our reasonable service. Reasonable service. It's the least that we can do for what God has done for us. Some people say, well, you might preach the gospel because God saved you. Honey, I can't stand enough times to repay God for what he's done for me. I could preach from now until the day I draw my last breath and I'll never repay him for what he's done for me. For it's a free gift. It's a gift of God. But my friend, you better believe that it was bought and paid for with a price. The precious blood of the Lamb of God. Knowing that you labor not in vain. If we labor, God is good to pay. He's the greatest paymaster I've ever had. But we have to continue pressing on. I realize this morning you say, preacher, this is the most awkward Thanksgiving sermon I've ever heard. I'm sorry.
I'm going to tell you this. There's a thanks in my heart this morning. And I'm leaning and trusting in Jesus because of what He done for me as a 9-year-old little boy. And I know one day after a while this body is going to die. It's going to wear out. And I thank God that that's not the end. It's only the beginning. Brother Strode, if you'd get us a song. Something on your heart this morning. Anything.